Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you, yes you, become the marriage transforming force of your relationship. In today's episode, I'm doing a deep dive on my own parenting style. It goes without saying that, you know, a deep choice for a lot of you guys out there is to enter the parenting arena. It's a very natural and beautiful thing to bring a kid into the world, and yet despite our best intentions, I'm putting my hand up, we unwittingly we unwittingly show up in a way that is less than conducive for our kids to feel loved and accepted and grounded. And we show up in such a way that unwittingly how we are showing up and behaving as parents brings out and encourages the worst in our kids. And the irrational cycle of this has definitely been blown up and in my mind and my heart and nervous system. The recent conversation I had with Dan Peterson, parenting expert, I'll have the link to that episode. It's one of the most recent ones anyway. It blew my mind open. I will be totally honest and transparent with every single one of you guys listening in. I actually entering that conversation with Dan, not consciously, I'd never have this sort of consciously, but there was a, if I look back now, there was a bit of a feel of, you know, going in, I'm pretty fucking good at the whole parenting scene, you know. There was, I will use the word arrogance, like there was a shadow unconscious arrogance in me, and where that was coming from. You know, I've spoken before to the level of trauma that I'd caused in our daughters, definitely our eldest daughter, and because for so many years I was so erratic in my ways of showing up. I'd be nice guy, nice guy, nice guy, but there was always a background tension and resentment. So when I say nice guy, it was not like a perfectly soft one, not ever fully present, always caught in my head. And then with these intermittent explosions of anger, and I call it like aggressive anger, aggression. I draw that distinction in other episodes. I don't like, there's pure anger and then there's aggression. It was aggressive outbursts, you know, against my kids, against my wife, etc., etc. So I had done a ton of work on, you know, coming to grips with the amount of trauma in our beautiful daughter's nervous systems and holding space. And it was off the back of that I sort of thought coming into the episode with Dan is like, you know, if I gave words to it, it's like, Mark, you're a bit of a legend at this shit. You know, like, you know, when the shit goes down with your parents now, you sit there. You know, there's been times when some of her daughters in key moments, like there's absolute feminine shitstorm, they're totally emotional. I take leadership. I can, you know, when I need, support them completely to come back to being more grounded. I've multiple times, tons and tons of times, sat there for like half an hour, 45 minutes, consciously breathing with them, getting them to breathe, using all these different tools, and in some senses to spectacular effect. So I was sort of coming into that episode, you know, the recording, the conversation with Dan, with a bit of, you know, I'm badass at this, you know, this is going to be an interesting conversation for sure. But it's like, you know, if I go with black belt, you know, the belt style, I was fancying myself, you know, like there's white belt, blue belt, purple belt, brown, and black belt is the top. I was like, if I rated myself, I'd be like, guys, you know, I'm a good bloody purple belt. You know, I'm near brown belt sort of shit. You know, like I got my shit and my ducks in a row here. I'm surely going to learn a couple of things from Dan, but, you know, it's just to optimize my approach. I could not have been further from the truth of where I was truly at. In that conversation with Dan, my arrogance, the persona, again, it's this sort of like, this persona that as men, like, it's still there with me. I love speaking with powerful men like Dan, and there's been so many guys that I've spoken with as guests on the podcast that have just ripped open another layer, unconscious blind spot layer in my persona. And that persona of, I've got my shit sorted. There's almost this omnipresent part of me. And like, touch base with yourselves, guys. Do you have that part of you, this persona, this facade, this sort of mask that you put on as you navigate your world, where there's sort of almost this omnipresent part of you trying to prove that you've got your shit sorted, you've got your shit together. You know, this ship is good. There's problems in the world, but this ship is good. My wife's ship, well, that's crazy ass shit. My kid's ship, well, that's crazy ass shit, but I've got my shit together. There's always this sort of facade. Again, so many times, you know, 100 guys in a room, you know, nearly every single guy has the hand up. And honestly speaking, the guy that doesn't have his hand up, I think is just a little bit self-delusional. Honestly, just with the profoundly sick society we've all grown up in, there is that part in every guy. And that's okay. It's important to just bring that shadow unconsciousness out to the front. But this episode is really just like, I want to share with you my process of reflection. I speak very often to heroic humiliation. You know, the most powerful position we have as husbands, as dads, in the context of this conversation, as men, we can only enter through leadership when we have the heroic humility to get real and recognize where we're truly at. As always, you know, humility can be quite triggering, because, you know, to be humiliated there's been such a connotation with being socially destroyed and shamed. But true humility is a real grounding experience. And coming from humus, which is ground, so it's the ground of truth of where you're truly at. And it's like that Google Map sort of idea, you know, it's like, it's a super potent tool, but it can never get you to where you want to go, which, touch base with all yourselves, you have some place where you would ideally like to be in marriage, some place you'd ideally like to be in your parenting and how your kids would show up. But if you cannot get real with where you are truly at right now, and get radically honest with that, it's like the Google Maps thing. Like, you know, it, no matter how potent that tool is, if it doesn't know where your starting point is, it can't send you to the destination. And this is like the crux of the matter. And definitely the conversation for me with my parenting, with Dan, like, brought me there. It's like, ripped me out of that arrogance and just dumped me uncomfortably. I was laughing. If you listen to that conversation, now, I was laughing. I bring a lot of humor to self-growth. But my nervous system could feel the pressure of all the amount of reflections that Dan put my way. It was like, wow. It was really like my nervous system in that moment going, wow, I've a lot to catch up on here. It was like not an advanced purple belt. I actually felt like, yeah, I was like a dude that was in white belt. Yeah, I'm 5-6 months into my jiu-jitsu journey. That means like I'm way ahead of a lot of guys on the planet because it's such a potent thing. But it's like, I've so far to go, which is a beautiful gift. A reminder, you know, if some of you have, a good lot of you are following in diligently, you might have listened to it, but repetition is mastery. It's really great. I'm just going to bring back this almost like a revision for us all. It's definitely, it was a beautiful revision for me to reflect in a very deep way in this, in preparation for the episode. There's the three pillars of what Dan was speaking to, is what he teaches as an approach. There's three pillars of the approach that he was making the point that a lot of us, most of us, will use individual parts of this intermittently. So there's a major trap here for us. And I know it's the exact same thing if I think of a systematized approach. And I will say that, like, You will rise to the height of your systems. This is what the fuck's his first name? J James Clear from Atomic Habits. It's one of the best-selling books on habits. I absolutely love it. But like James would say, you don't rise to the height of your goals. You rise to the height of your systems. Again, you can set a goal to have an amazing family, an amazing marriage, an amazing like relationship with your kids. You setting the goal is not what brings you there. You rise to the height of your systems. So, this approach that Dan was saying in parenting, I know in getting things done, the productivity approach, there's sort of like five key systems that you need to get in working in unison together in that approach. And the dude there as well, like Dan was saying, Dave Allen, he was saying, it's like, we all do these individually, some of the time. But it's only the incredible transformation happens when you get them all working in unison. So I sort of put that forward because that always there's it's always on our shoulder is this get having we have our shit together sort of persona, this protective part of our mind that is always trying to shift away from really opening up and going, yeah, fuck, that's exactly where I'm at. Wow, that's really exquisitely vulnerable to admit that to myself. I invite that reflection. It's very important that, it's so easy for that part of your mind. It's a part of your mind. It's not the full true you. It's so easy for that part of your mind and my mind, like in the run up to the conversation with Dan, to go, I've heard these 3 points that Dan is saying, Mark's reminding me of here. I do those. And then you leave it at that. It's like, oh, I tick those boxes. But the question is, do you systematically, consciously bring them into every interaction with your kids? If you're having issues with your kids' behavior, here's the thing. You're not. This is like the black and white approach here. If you're having issues with your kids' behavior, your kids' way of, respecting you or showing disrespectful behavior, if you have like cyclical issues with their moods and trying to get them to do what you'd like to do for the better of, for the betterment of the family, for your family ecosystem to run a bit better, but like it's just this there's this niggly background crap around, you're not doing these systematically. It's like just this is where, masculine, we claim that we're so rational, but when if you're not getting the results you want, it's your system as a parent. And this is the foundation of humility that I'd really bake in. The three pillars that Dan was mentioning, and he teaches is pillar number one is absolutely no unnecessary energy for problems. Number two is give good intentional energy when things are going well. And number three, have absolute clarity where the line is. Inside the line, you're good. Outside the line, hey, you don't get the good shit from there. You like it's this referee type thing on the absolute clarity. I'm gonna speak about them like as a revision for us all as parents. It's so crucial to get clear in them. But I'm going to put it through the lens of the like really intense reflections that came up for me in my parenting, as particularly with our eldest. I think there was just there's been more dysfunction there, patterns of dysfunction because she's lived like maybe 4 or 5 years more in the radical dysfunction earlier on. Not saying that there's no dysfunction in my parenting with the others, but for the sake of this, the biggest reflections was coming with our eldest, Anya. I found that like it was literally, guys, the day after the interview with Dan that I had a major breakthrough in humility, in realizing, oh my God, I actually had come down from the interview and sharing with my queen. I had an awareness of like, wow, like there's a lot here. I had an excited conversation at dinner, but the next morning we were out. Doing the horses. So when I say doing the horses, it's like mucking out the stables. We've got this incredible system together, where it's like I'm mucking out the stables. Anya is amazing now. She's 13. She's helping out tons, like to bring horses in and out. We've 8 horses, so it's quite a job. But if we work really well together, we can get it done in an hour and a half done. I have my outside work done, I have a bit of physical exercise, etc. So it's sort of cool, and Matilda helps out as well at times. But this morning, yeah, there was the three of us out, and it came, we were coming near the end. And Anya was brushing a bit of the yard. And it's actually quite a hard job. So, like, the context is, looking back, is like she's actually in the middle of, well, she's coming to the end of an hour and a half of, like, she's been diligently helping out. So it's actually quite amazing what she has been gifting the ecosystem of her family, and she has helped out. Yet it comes to the point of brushing up, and she's brushing up, just brushing up all these, the shaving and poos and stuff, the dirt from the concreted yard. And when it comes to, like, it's like I could already feel myself getting triggered, and I wasn't fully aware of it. I was like, I was sort of breathing through. I was like, okay, don't. I was like, okay, I'm triggered. Don't react like this. But I could actually feel myself getting more and more triggered. It's like, just, whatever. It's like she was brushing aggressively. It was like she was just like doing this outlandish, crazy brushing. And that was sort of triggering me. And I was like, okay, just breathe, Mark. Just it's okay. Like, whatever. She's doing horse style. I was like, maybe she's having some emotional thing. I had some rational trying to figure out that she was having some experience by herself. And but then that same aggressive brushing energy came to, I put the yard shovel down, so she had to brush the stuff up on top of it, and she aggressively brushed it up, sort of like if you imagine, like, she is the brush, there's the crap, and then I have to shovel down. She brushed it in such a way that it's like it just, the stuff went onto the shovel but fucking spilled all over it. And even when I say that, fucking spilled all over it, it's like that judgmental part of me that was live in the day. Cut a long story short, it's like I ended up just going, hold on. It's like, whoa, there was all this build up of judgmentality in me. And then it was like, okay, I'm into dad mode, it's like, and I ended up just saying, it's like, hey, you just, like, you're not being mindful. Like, Christ, like, what the hell? Like, I mean, whatever about the aggressive, like, this mad brushing down the yard, it's like, cool, like, that's okay, you're getting the job done. But Christ almighty, when you're brushing it up onto the shovel, like, you gotta be more mindful. I was really black and white, and with a lot of energy coming through me. And I ended up, like, just in lecture mode, which I caught myself, the beauty of, having a system that you can fall back on, that, yourself and myself, us all together, probably didn't have impeccable parenting growing up. That's not in our parents. They weren't trained either, etc., etc. Every person, you, me, and every person, we've been doing our 10 out of 10 best. But hey, it mightn't mean so effective without, like, having a true rigorous sort of education in, like, conscious parenting, like Dan has dedicated his life to teaching and coaching people in. But it became aware, like, I actually caught myself at some point. Now, I was going at it for a few minutes, so I'm not going to say, oh, I caught myself in the first 20 seconds, I became super aware. No fucking way did I was actually, I don't know, was I 10 minutes there? Like, my queen got involved, and then she started sort of in this lecture mode of, like, oh, like, Anya, just you stay there and we will parent you. We'll give you lectures about mindfulness and the importance of it. And, like, my queen, she was telling Anya, sort of like off for certain other behaviors that morning that weren't ideal. And then I caught it. I was like, oh my God. Like, point number one. I remember, like, the conversation was just the night before. I was like, absolutely no unnecessary energy for problems. Because as Dan was saying, it's like unnecessary energy for problems is like lectures or warnings or threats or bribes, but there's no consequence. You're just, like, lecturing and doing this, like, giving all the attention to the problem. And it's this idea that, and I love the clarity in the approach Dan was explaining, you are the prize. What our kids want from us, What Anya wants from, what Yelena wants from me and from Matilda is our fullest attention and our energy. That's like, there's such a love for the parent, and like, touch base with yourself, you know, it's like, you know, couldn't, mightn't been ideal. Sometimes it's catastrophically traumatizing what you went through with your parents. And hey, that's okay. Wherever you are in the spectrum and the experience growing up with your parents, it's like, you know, zero sympathy, 100% empathy. It's like, you experienced what you had to experience. But the trauma with our parents is that when we're young, we love them that much that we want their attention. We'll do anything to get attention and energy. So it's like, the prize, the greatest prize, is when our parents lock in with full attention and full energy on them. Yet, why point number one is so essential is absolutely no unnecessary energy for problems is, you know, when we give them the best of ourselves, like, okay, nothing else in this moment is more important than Anya, I've noticed, or I think I've noticed, hey, you're not being mindful. You're creating a mess with the brush. Like, what the fuck? You know, that sort of attitude. That's when I see her fully. That's when it's like, I see you, I notice you, I'm going to give you all of this energy. And as Dan, in his words, like, when you're at your worst, you get this incredible connection with me. When, you know, my business in my mind is like, I have business goals, you know, classic mission, like, get lost in going as shit, like, for, you know, many hours a day I'm doing the podcast and tons of discovery calls, things are going good, it's amazing. Then there's stuff with Matilda, then there's stuff with the house, we're preparing to go to Italy. It's like, I've all of these priorities, and like, touch base with yourselves, guys. I mean, there's a lot of shit on our shoulders, and like, we signed up to the job, so it's like 0% sympathy, 100% empathy. It can get quite overwhelming. So, like, part of the absolutely no unnecessary energy for problems that I totally walked into was I was giving my daughter the full prize of my absolute attention. Like, I've said this so many times, like, some of the primary feminine needs, and like, feminine is like masculine, feminine, it's not gender related. So you could have a son, then it's absolutely, it's his feminine, his deepest emotional needs are to feel seen, to feel heard. Now, the third part is to feel safe. This is not safe, but it's like, irrespective of being safe or not, if you're not getting attention at any other time, well, screw it. It's in this weird way to get the intensity of attention of our parents on ourselves. Well, if they're so busy, you know, and when I behave really well, you know, they just get busy doing all their other stuff because it's quite convenient. Touch base with yourselves, guys. Have you found that it's actually quite convenient when your kids behave? Because you don't actually have to tend to them. It's like, oh, they're so good, they're just doing their art. I've thought that so many times. But like, unwittingly, what I'm saying is like, yeah, it's so good, but that's so convenient. They're doing their art. They're out, they're playing with the, you know, they're reading, etc., etc. You know, the payoff for that as a parent from a mediocre unconscious perspective, but it's a real perspective. It's like, this doesn't make me wrong. This doesn't make you wrong. But in all the tasks that we have to do, you know, isn't there this part of us that's like, yeah, it's fucking nice when they're just like, you know, being a good kid. Being a good kid when they're behaving is like, I don't have to tend to them. Now, think about that. Like, again, Dan's interview with me was like, whoa, this is how I relate with them. I give them this intense attention. Like, I would stop. Like, that morning, I went into lecture mode. Like, I'm so wise. And, like, this power trip of having, you know, the power to be listened to. In reflection of this morning, preparing for this episode, I was like, yeah, wow. You know, and how much of that comes from my feeling of not having had a voice when I was younger. That I go into lecture mode with my kids because it's like now the position has switched. It's like, yeah, I got all this lecture mode and giving out mode and all of this attention, like, for when I wasn't behaving very well growing up. Hey, like, whatever, good boy, bad boy style. I end up repeating it. But it's like now there's some, like, rush, adrenaline rush inside myself subconsciously, where it's like, I'm now in the point of, authority. I now have the permission. I'm the one that has the power, so I will lecture and you will listen. Pretty deep fucking grief when I think of it like that, but again, radical humility, I'm like, that's a big play in it. My nervous system didn't know what it was growing up, and I know a lot of men, we had to hack our authentic voice growing up so we weren't fully listened to, and we learned to fit in and to conform and to be obedient, and not only with our parents, with our, in church, in school, etc., etc. So we get to the point where I'm a parent, I'm like 2 foot taller than you, I'm bigger, I'm stronger, I pay the bills, I provide, you should just behave and respect me by default, because why? I'm your parent. It's fucking bullshit of the highest order, but like, it's like, there's a part of me laughing because, hey, this none of this, none of what I speak to ever in any of these episodes, no matter how revelatory, no matter how it's like, oh wow, that's intense to even look at it like that. I do want to bake in this culture, guys, that we can laugh. Waking up, if you've had a hood in your head, when you take the hood off, there's no point beating yourself up for, oh, I've been like tripping, I've been stubbing my toe, I hurt people because of my blindness. It's like you had a hood in your head. Not that it's like by default okay, not that you won't empathize and you won't take radical responsibility for what stuff you've done in your phases of being blind. However, it's like beating the shit out of yourself. It's not necessary, it's just not hopeful. Like it's not useful. So I bring humor to it. It's like, wow, it's just such a bullshit approach. When you think about it, when you really look at it and go, yeah, okay, this role play and like big Captain Bombardier. But that point of like, I was unwittingly giving all my energy when in problem mode. And the second part came really clear to me then, which I actually teared up. And when I realized in that moment, like after 10, 12 minutes of fucking bullshit lecture mode here, like you just stand there. It's like, and literally, it's like at times, like, hey, on, like just look up at me. I get like, again, it's like a bit, there's a bit, I'm trying to minimize and normalize it. I get domineering. It's like, hey, look at me, look me in the eyes. When her nervous system is like, clearly in those moments, she mightn't have the words for it, but it's like, it's fucking bullshit. This is a bullshit situation. Our whole nervous system's like, there's no, re you're not respecting me. You're looking for me to respect you and listen to you, but you're not respecting me. Our kids have a nervous system, and that's why they end up misbehaving more and not being responsive to the lecture. But I was doing that. I caught it, and then like a wave, the second point that Dan was speaking to, it's like point number two. Give good intentional energy when things are going well. And boy, that grounded me. I actually just like it came like a wave out of nowhere. I teared up. I was like, hey, Anya, like I'm actually so sorry because here I am giving you like this 10, 12-minute lecture on you just needed to work some energy out of you. Hey, yeah, like whatever. Might be a little bit tired to brush it up on the shovel, like in a tidier way, but like I give you 10 minutes of shit for that. And it's like, here's the thing on you. And I just was like, guys, like she teared up immediately, immediately. And like that was the key thing. And like, you start seeing the genius in Dan's approach and how it worked. I definitely saw it and I've been working on it ever since, like the last number of weeks. But I then acknowledge Anya is like, hey, I give you 10 or 12 minutes of shit for this now because I'm so judgmental and I'm giving you all of this shit and attention now. But it's like, kiddo, like you're so mindful. She has different chores around and responsibilities in the house. We have like a ton of cats. We have 7 or 8 cats and like there's what, 3 or 4 cat litter trays spread around the house. The cats have full access around the house. So like they're big awkward things. She mindfully does that every, like I think it's every 2 days she does. She cleans them out. I mean, it's actually a really awkward job. It's a small house, awkward stairs. She does it. I've never seen her drop one of those litter trays. I've never seen a mess in the house. She does that. She brushes up and the horses. She does tons with the horses in and out. I've never heard any sort of issue with her putting a horse in and out. So it's like this wave of awareness of my absolute lack of giving her the good intentional energy when things are going good. And this wave, I just expressed so much acknowledgement and appreciation. I was like, I'm sorry, Anya, for not having placed all my loving attention when you're actually 99% of the time so mindful. You're actually so mindful I don't notice, because you're just doing all of this incredible stuff in the background and getting it so right that it's not noticeable, because it's in the silence. It's just happening so effortlessly that, like, hey, it's so perfectly mindful, it's not noticeable, you know. But it's like I was saying to her, it's like, hey, I'm noticing it now. I'm noticing it now. It's like I want to, and I acknowledge her, and I said, hey, you actually are so mindful so often that there's no drama to catch my attention. But it's like I'm committing now to noticing that, to encouraging that part. It's like you're actually super mindful. I started laughing. I was like, you're probably infinitely more mindful than I am at the best of times. Guys, the most beautiful thing happened. Like, she sort of, like, she teared up. But she came and she's like, thank you, Dad. And she gave me the most beautiful hug I've had. It seemed like ever from her. It meant that much that, like, clearly, as Dan was saying, it's like, I'm the prize. There's this incredible, you know, I'm such an important human being for her, you know, in her young life, developing into a powerful young woman. But it's like, I'm her dad. You know, there's this, and it's like this sacred role that we have. You know, if you really reflect upon it, I know, you know, in this game here, it's like to be the husband she brags about, but you want to be the dad that they brag about as well. It's like sort of internally, it's like, he's my dad. You know, that's, I'm, you know, every single one of us that are dads that, you know, they're listening in, is there not just some part of you that with so much love that you have for your kids? And even if you've been blind up until now because, hey, like me, you got this old style, you know, blueprint of parenting, and you might have nudged it or got a little bit better, but it's like pretty much the same sort of an approach with the nudges of improvement, but it's like it's just maybe not working out for you as much. But like to give your best parenting, your most conscious parenting, in a way that is deeply meaningful and connecting for your kids' experience, that their nervous system gives you the feedback about if you're getting it, you know, if you're doing it in a way that's meaningful, their nervous system will give you that feedback. Again, Dan was sort of making his point. It's like he coaches parents on this, and it's like parents come with, oh, it's just like the kid is misbehaving. There's this issue and problem with the kid, but, you know, the kid's misbehaving. I'm going to be doing an episode on this, like, it's actually going to be my next episode, that our kid's misbehavior, that, like me in that moment, like, I got so judgmental and triggered about it. Oh, the behavior is bad, you know, the lack of mindfulness. That it's, we focus in on the symptom, but it's just a symptom, it's not the mechanism. And we don't realize until we zoom back, we zoom back out, and like me in that conversation with Dan, and then the integration of that wisdom, like the day after, to go, wow, it's because I as a dad have not been giving any of my fullest love and attention to my daughter. I haven't been gifting that when she's getting it, she's doing really good the most of the time. So it's like training, I was unwittingly training her system that, hey, you know, you get the, like Dan was using the $100 bill or banknote metaphor. It's like you give them the $100 experience with you when they're bad. All the busyness in the world, all your overwhelm, all your priorities. It's like when they misbehave, That's the time when you lock in and give them all of your attention. So that's an immense emotional experience they're having with you. So it just makes sense to them. Irrationally, we'd like it to be different, but it isn't. They keep on misbehaving because they're guaranteed to get the $100 experience with you. And then we give them these little bribes and we sort of say, hey, you know, like threats. Again, unnecessary drama. It's like threats. Oh, I'm not going to, you're not going to, it's another thing where I'd say, it's like, hey, you're not going to get cartoon time. That's something meaningful for them. You're not going to get cartoon time if you don't tidy up your bedroom or if you don't, you know, like, that's a $5 experience. It's like they don't care. It's like, what, the cartoons versus getting dad's fullest attention? So yeah, guys, I just really wanted to do this episode to let you in on my process as a dad. Number three is absolute clarity where the line is. I'm working on that. I have to say there's more work to do, myself and my queen. I feel maybe time when we go on holidays just to do we're gonna be just gonna be lots of nice reflective time going on holidays in a couple of weeks. So yeah, there's a lot of work to be done there. There's incongruencies with where the line is. I have noticed that where, like, some days, depending on my mood, it's like, yeah, it's okay. But if I'm in maybe a more challenged mood for myself, it's like, it's not okay. And that lack of consistency in where the line is, you know, it's like that referee metaphor that Dan gave, which is like the referee basketball. It's like there's the line, you know, your toe in, toe out, ball in, ball out. It's like it's just black and white. It's so rigorously consistent that anybody that is in any way awake in their nervous system at all can get it. It's like, I don't put my foot or the ball out, that's it. And the referee doesn't get involved in this, like, moral dilemma. He doesn't get emotionally attached to whether the person in or out. It's like, if they're in, he doesn't prefer them any more than if they're out. It's just a simple thing. If you're out, whistle blown, give me the ball. So there's tons of work there as well. And, like, how often I have got so emotionally attached with, hey, they don't, like, almost like preemptively. They haven't even put their foot outside, out of bounds. And I'm going, hey, now, you know, like, preempting this great domineering power play parenting. It's like, hey, now, like, don't you be up reading tonight. Don't you be taking, like, keeping the light on. You know, it's like they've been reading at night. This is actually coming through fresh now as a reflection, where I do this preemptive, but it's like it's really bad refereeing. It's like a referee shouting to a player, like, and don't you step out of lines, out of boundaries, you know, or you've done it again, are you stupid? Like, it's nonsensical. Guys, tons of awareness is actually coming through live. I could speak to more and more of this. I have been, I've had my mind opened and my nervous system, it's like, all the arrogance of, like, thinking I had my shit sorted, like, at a level that just wasn't there. I really was nowhere near there. I want to have that really clear. Oh, man. It's like, oh, you know, you do your podcast, you coach guys around the world, you, like, have your five-step presence, pillars of presence, you're so fucking shit hot. Fucking bullshit. More of that old style persona of having my shit together. And what a beautiful, beautiful, enriching experience it is as a man to go beyond that persona that we have had bombarded at us. We've been shamed that, you know, we've been shamed that much that merely the process of getting honest with where we're at, because we were shamed by organized religions. You're a sinner. You're a born sinner. It's like, by default, you're wrong. What the fuck is that about? Like, I mean, you know, domineering authoritarian sort of schooling. It's like, you know, if you follow the rules, you know, you're good, you're obedient, you get all the, you tick all the boxes, you get all the approval. If you don't follow the rules, you're wrong. I mean, we've just been conditioned that any making a mistake, I mean, it makes you inherently wrong as a human being. So, I mean, of course, we were deeply hesitant and resistant to opening up and getting honest. But it's my greatest hope and, like, my core intention here within the culture of Be the Husband She Brags About It's astounding what's happening. The feedback I'm getting, guys, that are like, there's tons of discovery calls coming in. I'm very proud of what we're achieving here together. All of this lone wolfing, you know, as a badge of honor, I've been speaking to that. It's working. I'm getting, like most guys on the discovery calls, you know, in the added bit at the bottom, they're like, hey, no more lone wolfing. I get the point. It's like, I'm not going to lone wolf on this anymore. And like, I really love that. I put it out there. Heroic Husbands, Men's Circles, it's astounding. At the time of recording, had the first circle there last week. Off the charts, what's happening in there, guys. Within 2 hours, I honestly can put hand on heart and say that with the momentum of the guys having listened into the podcast so much and then having had the discovery call and coming, like biting at the bit, wanting, hungry to do work, it's the most extraordinary 2 hours of men's work I have had the honor and privilege to witness in my 4 years of men's work. Of course, you can, like, I'm biased in this. It's like, it's the movement I've created and the code of conduct and everything. And but it's like all coming in together, that momentum of guys hungry, husbands hungry. There's dads in there. Some of the dads were speaking to core, deep problems with parenting, with kids that weren't behaving, etc., etc. That is the perfect arena that you have the opportunity to sharpen your sword, to open up and get real and feel seen, heard, and radically safe, to get completely honest with where exactly you're at. Every single man there courageously got radically honest with where he was at. And then there's this beautiful, amazing, profound experience where your nervous system goes, oh, like them too? They've that issue as well. And then you might share certain issues that, like, hey, they don't have, but like then they have, like, you know, deep shit going on. Every man has deep shit going on. Just get real with it. Like, but in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles, it's miraculous what's happening. It's so beautiful. I'm pumped and excited. Tomorrow's episode number 2, and there's of that first group. And group 2 is starting, which is just a call out to, it's not just exclusively, but it is way more in line for Pacific time zone and Mountain time zone and other West states, West Coast, Canada, etc. There's a lot of you guys listening in. It's very optimized for your time zones. Group 1 wasn't so much. This one definitely is. My encouragement is, again, lone wolfing is not a badge of honor. If you're having a struggle in marriage, in your parenting, in your inner world, how you're showing up in married life, man, that just makes you human. But lone wolfing with that struggle is unnecessary. And lone wolfing is not a badge of honor. Reach out. It takes 10 seconds of courage now to reach out. The podcast, in the podcast description, you will find the Heroic Husbands free discovery call link. 10 seconds of courage, you're in. And the guys that are on board, they all had hesitancy to reach out, going beyond that lone wolfing to, you know, come on the discovery call. I'm telling you, they're going to be living happily ever after. Like, they already are. It's been amazing. So why would you deny yourself that? Why would you deny your wife experience of you being able to show up 100% in kingship? And your kids, we're talking about the kids today. And me and my radical, you know, humility, that practice is like just shifting my ass out of arrogance to a better place with my kid. And my kid has been much happier ever since. I'm not doing it perfectly. I'm still noticing there's tons of ironing out. I'm going to keep doing that and meeting up in the arena of parenting, in the arena of marriage. But guys, it's beautiful what we're co-creating here together. I have so much love for every single one of you. I wish I could like give you a physical, brotherly, loving hug, but I can send it out intentionally. Every single one of you, such appreciation for you all listening in. So diligently trying your best 10 out of 10 version of integrating this wisdom in your lives. And yeah, just, it's amazing. And reminding ourselves why we do what we do on the deepest level, going beyond ourselves into the fullest potentiality of why we do what we do. Better husbands today, and I'd also say better dads today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day. And before you go, Kingly Brothers, I'm so happy to let you know that Heroic Husbands Men's Circles waiting list is now live. Online meetings supporting you up level to hero husband status. Go from fearing your best will never be good enough to becoming the competent and confident husband she brags about. Save years of needless guesswork and confidence eroding disconnection. Click on the link in the podcast description to take your first simple step to becoming the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. Check it out now.